This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Educators, the good ones, often say this. Young people have great talents and great insights if they just get the chance to show them off. Well, a national competition is giving some local youth a chance to shine. This weekend, you can hear for yourself. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. Going to talk about some young people who are doing the right thing, as in writing essays, and think deeply about what goes into them. But before you meet those students, I want to welcome back Robin Kelsch. She's the Senior Director of Partnerships for Communities and Schools of Chicago. The CIS is a nonprofit organization that brings schools together with community groups and programs that can help them and their students. We have talked about some of those efforts in the past, like providing mental health counseling or tutoring and a lot more. And Robin Kelsch, welcome back.
Thank you so much. You know, I could not be more happy to be here.
Well, I couldn't be more happy to have you. Also joining us are Summer Bell. She is a freshman at King College Prep, and Riley Thompson, who is a freshman at Mansueto High School. And I thank both of you for being here. So,
thank you for having me.
And yes, and thank. I'm really great and glad that you were able to do this. And after school, apparently. So, this is the after school activity for today. but Robin, for people who haven't been with us for one of your other appearances on this program, just tell us a little bit about what communities and schools. Is and how it works.
Yeah, my pleasure. So Communities and Schools is a national organization. And here in Chicago, we've been doing the work since 88. And really the name of our game is making sure that young people and students, school communities have what they need to thrive, not just get by. It's not just access. It's about building relationships and creating conditions so that community organizations can come into these schools, deliver these programs, and support these young people the way that they deserve to be. So we are proud to be in 239 Chicago Public Schools, partnering with them and working to connect them with resources delivered from our over 250 community partners. And one of our most favorite programs that we get to work with is the Do the Right Thing program that brought me the opportunity to meet both Summer and Riley.
And before we talk about that, and I do want to talk about that collaboration, how many schools are you working with now?
Yeah, 239 schools in CPS.
That's a lot. That's a lot. And so let's talk about this collaboration. How did it start and what is it?
Yeah. So the National Campaign to Stop Violence is also a national organization, and they're the ones behind the Do the Right Thing Challenge. It is the program that they put on. So this happens in 26 communities across the nation. But in Chicago, it's been happening since 1998. And we as communities and schools are involved because this program needs a backbone. It needs organizations behind it to help make sure the word gets out to students, that there's all the logistics playing out in terms of who's going to read, how are we going to know, who becomes the ambassador, all of that work. But I think the thing that really ties the Do the Right Thing program to communities and schools is it's so mission aligned. We're talking about student voice. We're talking about amplifying what young people know. And I think the thing that also makes it very aligned is that Do the Right Thing, this program gives young people a chance to be heard in a way that we just don't often give voice. And what I think at CIS of Chicago, what we're also always trying to do is align with that and recognize that our young people are experts. And when they have something to say, we should listen. In fact, the tagline to the Do the Right Thing program is students write, we listen. It's a great opportunity to do that and aligns very well with what we're trying to do at CIS of Chicago, keep students at the center.
And so talk about this competition. How does it work? And it has a very specific focus.
That is absolutely right. So the Do the Right Thing challenge is all about giving agency and voice to our middle school students, so that's 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, to get their thoughts, ideas, and solutions to youth and community violence. So these young people get an opportunity to respond to three very simple questions. What are the causes of youth violence? What has your experience been? And what do you think the solution should be? And they get an opportunity to write in any format they want. So think about a story, a play, a script, a poem, whatever that looks like for that young person. That's how they're able to express themselves. There's no dollars. There's no money to do it. Students can, anywhere in Chicago, can write what they think those responses are in any format they want. And then they're read by volunteer readers. So we are so, I'll take this opportunity. If you're listening and you are a volunteer reader for Do the Right Thing, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We literally can't do this without you. But what our volunteer readers are doing is they're looking at content, emotional connection. Did the student tell a story? Are they connected to their words? Notice I did not say, was the grammar perfect? Did the spelling, was it excellent? We give this opportunity knowing that that is a difference in how we operate with our young people. Not to say that sentence structure, grammar, and spelling are not important. They absolutely are. And our young people that are on the call absolutely know that it's true. But this is an opportunity for them to express themselves creatively without the fear of that red pen. So this opportunity then allows us to celebrate these young people. We honor our top 100 authors at a special dinner at UIC. And with their parent and their teacher. At that event, we announce our top 10. And from there, we announce our national ambassadors. And so this is an opportunity for young people, these young people that you're going to get to talk to, which you guys, I'm just like the appetizer here. The entree is coming. So stick with us. Yeah. But these young people then get a chance to go to Washington, D.C., where they meet with other young people from across the country. They get to see the sites. They get to have this amazing experience. P.S. their parent and their teacher come, and they get their writing put in the Library of Congress. Y'all, when I tell you that these young people leave D.C. as published authors with their writing in the largest library in the world, that's what this program can do. But at the end of the day, if all that happens is a young person gets to express themselves and a caring adult listens, that is a win all the same.
Now, violence can be such a heavy topic. I mean, you know, as a news reporter, I'm dealing with that almost every day. Why middle school students?
Yeah, that is a great question. It is a very specific age group. And here's some of the rationale. One, just the nature of being in middle school. There is this sense of, I am in the middle of everything. I'm not in elementary school. I'm not in high school. Where is my agency? Where's my opportunity to be heard, to be seen as an expert in my life and in what's going on there? The other thing is, when we think about what's happening developmentally for young people, in middle school, we have a real opportunity for young people to take this writing challenge to say, what can I do? It's about agency and helping the young people understand that they have the power to make changes within their own lives as well. And we see that in elementary school, there might be a little bit too many barriers with age that they don't really have that ability to be super independent. And then in high school, you're all independence, right? In some ways, you're asked to like figure out the rest of your life by the time you're a sophomore in high school. What's your major in college going to be? What's your interest? So the middle school is that sweet spot where there is still an opportunity, we believe, to really make sure that if a student needs to pivot, it could be this opportunity that helps them pivot.
Now, the last question I'm going to ask you before we bring our young ladies in is, besides highlighting the talent of some very bright young people, what do competitions like this and writing essays like this do for kids?
Yeah, I think, well, I will be very curious to hear what our young folks say about that. But from what I've seen and in my experience and in talking to these young people, it is one of the rarest opportunities for a young person to know that what they said and wrote, their thoughts and feelings are being read by leaders, by other caring adults in their universe. And when they are reading these pieces, It is a benefit to the young person. I just had a volunteer reader email me and ask me that very question, wanting to know, like, what is my impact here? And it is just that power of knowing somebody is reading your work. The president of whatever company read your work, right? The mayor read your work. City councilors are reading your works. Your teacher, your parents, folks like me, people that want to do the right thing are reading these pieces so that they know what direction to go. So it is a benefit to the students, but I will say, Craig, it is a gigantic benefit to the adults that are getting a chance to interact with these materials, to learn from these young people, and to really ask themselves, what can I be doing? What am I doing to contribute, and what can I be doing differently?
Well, I will say, as someone who's had the pleasure and the honor of talking to young people at various times in my work, I agree with you wholeheartedly on it benefiting the adults as well as the students. So what I want to do is have each of our students read a passage from your essay, a part that you care about the most. And then after each passage, we'll talk about it and the things that inspired each of you to write it. So let me start with you, Summer. So why don't you read a passage from what you wrote?
I would love to. Youth violence plays a huge part in modern day society. There's been countless victims here in America as well as other places. I'm here to address this matter because this violence has not only affected others, but also me. Violence has affected my life in various ways. I remember when I was about 4 or 5 years old, my older cousin Eva had run out on Christmas Day with her then boyfriend Anthony without permission. We called her to ask her to come home, and no matter how much I begged, she kept repeating the same thing. Nothing's going to happen, Summer. I will be okay. Later on that evening, she was found dead in the snow with a gunshot wound to her head. My 17-year-old, 5-month-old pregnant cousin had been shot by her boyfriend. That day gave us my little cousin Leilani, who was a child, and now I've been taking care of her for 8 years, and she is now 9 years old. I've been taking care of her since I was 5, and it's affected me since she's disabled, and it's way different than taking care of a standard child, but I'm happy that she made it.
Summer, thank you very much. Thank you. And, that was something that struck me when I read your essay. You started taking care of your cousin when you were 5. That's kind of an adult thing to do. How did you manage that?
Well, I just thought that even though I was very young when my cousin died, and I can't really remember certain bits and pieces of her, and kind of what happened to her, like that last phone call, her dying is really my most major memory of her. And I just thought that it'll make me feel closer to her. Being near her is kind of like a piece of her is in her. And me taking care of her, me helping out with her, is basically me helping my cousin out. And I take major pride in taking care of her because I'm taking care of my dead cousin Eva every single time I take care of my little cousin.
That is amazing. And you talk about some very painful things in your essay. We're not detailing all of them right now, but not just physical pain, but emotional pain. Was the writing painful or helpful?
The writing was both painful and helpful at the same time because I really dug deep in my trauma and dug deep into things that I kind of bottled inside and I kept to myself and things nobody knew. And bringing that out really made me realize, wow, this isn't normal. This is really messed up. But it helped me get my word out. It helped me lift a weight off of my chest trying to write, and it kind of made me feel at peace with what happened. And I said this in the attorney general meeting I had a while back, and I said that although all this happened 9 years ago, 9, 10 years ago now, you think about it, and that's 10, 9 years with no justice.
That is true. Robin Kelsch, when young people are writing about things so close to home, so close to the heart, how do you and others, the people who are around them, keep them from getting lost in the darkness of it? I mean, because I would think if you've never had to write that deeply before, it must be, you know, you must need somebody to look at you and go, hey, are you okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And something that we have been doing at Communities and Schools to support exactly what you're talking about is not only we're there as a one-on-one for our school staff who might need support, but also what are you doing to prep to even introduce this to students, right? Some of the feedback I get from educators is, I'm not ready to ask this question because I'm not ready to hear what the response is. And that's a very fair thing, right? You just heard Summer talk about something that is tragic, difficult. And although it's not our experience, we can feel that. It does impact us, right? So we host trauma-informed writing trainings to help our adults be ready to be the support that our young people need. We also implemented something for our volunteer readers, recognizing that A, we're only asking them to read 10 pieces because it's a lot. You're digesting a lot, and we want to take care of everybody, right? And through that process, we also have an opportunity for those readers to flag essays to say, I am concerned for this young person. Can you please check on them? We have clinical staff that review those pieces, and then we reach out to those teachers and counselors to say, hey, this young person, we are concerned. Can you please check on them? Here are some resources and ways to do that. So we really want to think about that full young person's experience. And I'm sure we're going to get to it, but I'll just kind of preview that when the young people are writing and they are answering that question of what the solutions are, very, very often those solutions are talk to a trusting adult, more parent engagement.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore, and we're talking with and about young people who do the right thing about writing. My guests are Robin Kelsch, Senior Director of Partnerships for Communities and Schools of Chicago, Riley Thompson. And did I mix your schools up at the beginning? I did, didn't I? Okay. So let me get it straight then. Riley, you're at King College Prep. She's a freshman at King College Prep. And Summer is at Mansueto. And I just wrote them on the wrong.
Yes.
But thank you, Summer, for hand signaling me when I did that. So but this brings us to Riley, and in fact, it brings us to exactly what Robin was talking about, because a lot of your essay involves adults. So why don't you, Riley? Why don't you unmute yourself and read us a passage from your essay?
Thank you. I would love to. Bullying is not just hitting or being malicious, it's also the breaking down of character, mental abuse, and physical abuse. People I see getting bullied are the ones who don't fit the norm, people who are overweight, insecure, and people facing traumatic experiences. These are the people who are picked on, and the ones who usually commit the most violent acts. LifeScience.com suggests that bully kids are more likely to commit crimes, leading them in prison as adults. Remember the Texas shooting? Hurt people, hurt people.
Thank you very much. And I do want to say the other things that I liked about your essay involved what you said about the role that adults can play in leading. And both of you said this in your essays, some young people to violence. And my favorite line that I read was, I hate to say it, but some adults are not fit for kids. Boy, truer words were never spoken. And we all know who they are. But seriously, it is adults do play a role in the way that they raise their kids, in the kind of attitudes. Talk a little bit about that, Riley.
I believe that, you know, as you grow up, you begin to see the patterns that your parents have for you, see the way people move about, and you see perspectives. Now, many adults don't know this, but children are very, very observant. So if I see my mom saying, oh yeah, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that. The same way as they repeat positive behaviors like saying, I love you and I love this and I love this about you, is the same way they will do the same thing as saying, well, my mom said I can hit you, so I'm gonna hit you. Not only that, this affects people and long-term goals, like long-term life values. Like people like this say, I got bullied when I was younger, so maybe I won't amount to anything in life. Maybe I won't accomplish this and maybe I won't accomplish that. Like bullying really affects people in the long-term and short-term. And many people don't realize that. And neither do parents. They don't realize how their negative behavior affects their children and their children affect other children.
Yeah, until you hear those words being spoken back to you, an adult may not see that. And also you talk about how violence in some ways is among young people is just normal. And I know you don't mean it's really normal, but that it's typical. What is it like to go through a world where, you know, adults and young people seem to think, yeah, it's okay?
I would say it's very typical for me in the world I go through. It's, oh, well, don't go over there because they're doing this, and don't go over there because they're doing that. So it's like everywhere you go through, every day you go through your life, you have to avoid certain things. You have to sacrifice certain parts of yourself that want to go out and explore simply because of what other people are doing. And it's like, dang, like that really traps me. Like that really limits where I want to go, limits who I see myself as because of what other people are doing.
I'm going to ask you both now the questions are for both of you, and that is, let's try and solve the problem. So I want you to tell me what's one thing, and we'll start with you, Summer, since Riley was just talking. What's one or two things that either you as young people could do to bring down violence, or that we adults need to get to understand to do it?
I feel like to bring down violence, we as like a young community should be able to make a safe space for people to talk about their feelings, to talk about how they feel, instead of just bullying people and basically degrading people for how they feel, saying, oh, this is cringy, and basically being desensitive to how people are feeling.
Riley, what's your thing?
Well, I love what she said about the children, like how we can do it like better. I will have to like talk about the parents. As an adult and as communities and adults, I feel like people should create more recreational centers, because that will get children off the streets and that will prevent children from seeing their communal behaviors and communal patterns that will affect them long term, and that will give them something to do. That will give them a positive outlook. That will give them positive mentors just to see how, oh, I can really do this. Like I can make it out of my neighborhood.
But now how do we keep young people, frankly, how do we keep adults when they get in these situations, from taking competition or the things in, that come up in recreational centers from becoming a flashpoint, from becoming the thing that makes people mad at each other? How do we keep it calm?
I feel like as adults, you should know when and when not to intervene and how to keep it calm. Just simply say, hey, we're not going to do that out here. And in here, we respect each other, we love each other, and we give out positive outlooks. Out there, that's a whole different ballgame. But in here, we love each other, and we give each other room to grow. That's what we represent in here, not out there.
Yeah, Summer, how do you feel we should keep people? Is it the adults that have to do it, or is there anything that young people can do to bring down the temperature between each other or among each other?
I feel like parents, they pave the way for how their kids treat other people, because sometimes I grew up with like hearing a lot of adults tell their children, oh, look at that girl, and then proceed to say something negative about them, or adults talking about other adults and proceed to say something negative about that adult. And then a kid will see that, like, oh, my mom does that. And they look up to their parents, or and they look up to their moms and dads or whoever raises them. And they're like, they do that, I want to do that because I want to be like them, because I look up to them. And then at the same time, adults will also degrade their children. Parents also degrade people that they love without really realizing it. And that kind of causes their children have a fixed mindset saying, I won't be anything. I will never be anything because my parents said so.
I just want to jump in here because Craig, I'm sure you're going to take the words out of my mouth, but to your listeners right now, I just like want to remind you that you're hearing from young people. These women are freshmen in high school, and their insights are so right on, so just well put. I just want to remind you that the young people in your life have agency like this. They know. Our kids see us. Our young people are watching. They hear us. They see you when you roll your eyes at something. They notice when you whisper, right, in school. They're picking up on that. So, you know, this is one thing that we can take away from this conversation is we all have an opportunity to do the things that Summer and Riley are saying. We can do them in our, we can do them right now in our daily lives. So I just want to point that out and just continue to give kudos to these young women because I'm blown away. I continue to be every time I see them, but as they continue to grow and mature, I'm in awe.
As am I. And Robin, you answered the question that I was going to, in fact, I was going to say to you that I was going to ask, what can adults learn?
But we're so in tune now. We're just doing it.
But the point is that the two of you just answered the question for both of us by saying the things that you said. So the last thing I'm going to ask each of you, and we only have like a minute, what do each of you think you want to do when you actually are an adult? So Riley, what do you want to do when you, I won't say grow up because you guys have grown up a lot already.
When I am an adult or a future adult, I would like to become a pediatric nurse practitioner because my love for kids is, I would like to say, out of this world, because I feel like children deserve to have nurses who love on them, who teach them growth, and who don't have a fixed mindset. And I feel like the way children are treated in hospitals and the way children are treated out in this world affects them. And I would like them to be positively affected. I also want to like invest in real estate so I can have money on the side and stuff like that. But in real estate, I'm going to like have properties, stuff like that. But also I'm going to make, I want to make a recreational center, like I've said, for the kids, because I know what it's like to be a young child in Chicago and how unsafe it sometimes is.
That's great. Summer, and what do you want to do in the future?
When I become an adult, I want to study forensic science and become a criminal lawyer. And I want to be able to help people get justice for things, whether they're falsely accused or if someone did something and they need justice for that. Mainly because, you know, what happened with my cousin, what happened with a lot of my family members, and they never got justice for what they did. And my brother, he doesn't get justice for what he's currently going through right now. So much of my family is going through stuff. And the world, the government, and all of this is like the whole entire justice system is really messed up. And it's like they don't hear the full side of the story half the time. And I want everybody to be able to see the full side of the story, to have perspectives so people can get the justice they really deserve. So the people that are making this world dangerous can get help and they can actually learn to be better people. And the people that are hurt and people that do get hurt can finally get the justice that they need. And maybe one day I can get justice from my cousin Eva.
You both are amazing. You really are. Thank you. Let me first thank Robin Kelsch with the nonprofit group Communities and Schools for introducing me to these young adults.
My absolute pleasure. When I grow up, I want to be more like Riley and Summer.
Absolutely. Riley Thompson is a freshman at King College Prep. And Summer Bell is at Mansueto High School, and she's also a freshman. And for our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website. That's WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage, and you can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.